Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Monday, October the 24th, 2016. Today we are going to be covering the book of Yahshua, that is Joshua in English, chapters 3 and 4. And this book is just full of battles and excitement and sinning and punishment, and just, it's a rock'em sock'em action book. This book moves real fast, and it's got a lot of action in it. So let's get to it, and I will put my comments in as usual as needed. And get rid of the morning throat frog there. Chapter 3 of the book of Yahshua. And Yahshua means Yahweh of salvation. Same name as our Messiah, actually. Verse 1. And Yahshua rose early in the morning, and they set out, 5265. That you'll be hearing that a lot, so it's always 5265 when I say set out. From Shittim, and that is a place where they got the wood of Shittim to make all the ark and all of that. And came to the Jordan River, that's spelled with a Y, but in English it's the Jordan River, as they have played with the Hebrew. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged, 3885, there before they passed over. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the army, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, and the priest of the Levium bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and walk after it. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's about 3,000 feet. Do not come near to it, so that you may know the way by which you must go, because you have not passed this way before. The Ark of the Covenant was to lead out. Verse 5, and Yahshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves by purification. Now that whole thing, consecrate yourself by purification, is one word, 6942. Because tomorrow Yahweh will do wonders, 6381, among you. And Yahshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. They were obeying everything that Yahshua was saying, because he was Moshe's replacement, and Yahweh had already magnified him before the people. So they were truly convinced he was the leader. And Yahweh said to Yahshua, this day I will begin, 2490, to make you great, 1431, in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that as I was with Moshe, I will be with you. Well, he had done that a couple of times already, but he was really going to show them something today. And you shall command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge, 7097, of the Jordan, you shall stand still, 5975, in the Jordan. They were going to go out in the river a short ways and stop. Verse 9, and Yahshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of Yahweh your Elohim. And Yahshua said, hereby you shall know that the living El, 410, divine being, is among you, and he will surely drive out. That's 3423 doubled for emphatic usage, from before you, the Kanani, and the Chiti, and the Kiwi, and the Perizi, and the Girgashi, and the Emori, and the Yebusi. Okay, that is the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Okay. Verse 11. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, 113, that is the Master, Adon, the Lord of all the land, passes over before you into Jordan. That's a title. Yahweh is the Lord of all the land. Okay? So that's proper. He's not calling him Baal there. Verse 12. Now therefore, take you 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, the Lord of all the land, shall rest, 5117, in the waters of the Jordan River, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, 4605, and they shall stand, 5975, upon a heap, 5067. All right, this generation had not witnessed the parting of the Sea of Reeds. And this act, these are all new people. They were the children of the original Exodus people. And their children, the grandchildren. This is very similar to the parting of the Sea of Reeds. He's going to magnify Yahshua by this act. He's going to do, well, Yahweh is doing another miracle. Well, of course. So, verse 14, and it came to pass when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan River, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bore the Ark walked into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bore the Ark were dipped 2881 into the edge of the water because the Yarden River overflowed 4390-5921, all its banks, 1415, all the time of harvest, 7105. In other words, not only was he going to park the water, but the river was in flood stage. It was up out of its banks, rushing downstream. This is Yahweh working. Verse 16, that the waters that came down from above stood and rose up, 6965, upon a heap very far away, 7368, from the city of Adam, that's 121, and that's also a city name, not just the Adam, but the city Adam. It's a city name. They called it Adam. Adam. That is beside Sarethon, 6891. That's Zaretan in King James. And those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, the Salt Sea, Salt is 4417, and Sea, now they're speaking of the Dead Sea. That's what's called the Dead Sea today, the Salt Sea, and the Jordan River empties into that. Those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, the Salt Sea, failed, 8552, and were cut off. And the people passed over near Jericho. That would be Jericho. Okay? Dry ground. He made dry ground where a river in flood formerly was. He had everything piled up in a great big heap of water. And the people saw this. Well, they needed to see it. It was a replay of the parting of the Sea of Reeds, but he used the Jericho in flood stage, which was up out of its banks all over the place. It was a flood plain. So it was a massive amount of water. Verse 17, and the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh stood firm, 3559, on dry ground, 2724, in the middle of the Jordan, and all the Israeli passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed completely, 8552, over the Jordan. Another huge miracle for new people under a new leader. Moshe was gone now. And he showed the people that what Yahshua said was going to come true. This is going to be the first of many such miracles that will occur in the Promised Land. As I said, these books are absolutely action-packed. Okay, let's get into chapter 4. And it came to pass, this is verse 1, when all the people were completely passed over the Jordan River, that Yahweh spoke to Yahshua, saying, take 12 men from the people, from every tribe a man. In other words, each tribe was going to be represented here. He wasn't cutting anybody out. He wanted everybody to participate in this. A little iced tea, just a second. Oh, that's lovely. And command them, saying, take from here, from the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place 4-4-4-4-4-1-1, where you shall lodge 3-8-8-5 this night. Okay, they were gonna build a pillar over there, a memorial. Then Yahshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared, 3-5-5-9, from the children of Israel, from every tribe, a man. In other words, every tribe was going to participate in this. He didn't want anybody to say, oh, you didn't get somebody from our tribe. Well, Yahweh doesn't do that. Verse 5. And Yahshua said to them, pass over before the ark of Yahweh, your Elohim, into the middle of the Jordan. And every man lift up a stone upon his shoulder, 7-9-2-6, according to the number, 4-5-5-7, of the tribes of the children of Israel. That would be 12 stones. Verse 6. That this may be a sign, 2-2-6, among you, when your children ask in the future, saying, what do these stones mean? And they would, they're going to be questioned by their children. Children are curious. They want to know their heritage. Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan River were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial, 2146, to the children of Israel forever. I don't know if they're still there. They would be lost by now or knocked over. Who knows? Verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Yahshua commanded, and took up 12 stones. These are pretty big stones, and they were pretty stout people back in those days. All the hardship they went through, they lifted up some big stones and had them on their shoulder. They took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, nice smooth river stones, polished by that river, as Yahweh spoke to Yahshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over to the place of lodging, and laid them down there. Now, they probably carried them a good distance, because if the Yarden River was in flood stage and covered that whole floodplain, they had to go up a hill a ways to get dry ground to camp on. Verse 9, and Yahshua set up the 12 stones from the middle of the Yarden, from the place where the priest which bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. In other words, when this book was written. Maybe not today, but back then when they wrote this book, they were still standing. The priests which bore the ark stood in the middle of the Yarden until everything was finished, 8552, that Yahweh commanded Yahshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moshe commanded Yahshua. And the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were finished passing over, that the ark of Yahweh passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed to 571 before the children of Israel, as Moshe spoke to them. Remember, they were going to take their inheritance on the other side of the river, because it was all good pasture land, and they were stockmen. They had livestock. It was a great place for livestock. And they said, well, this is perfect for us. So they built a bunch of walled cities and camps that were fortified. And they left their children and their wives back yonder. And they said they would go over and fight in all the wars to come until all of Israel was established with their inheritance. They swore to that. And Yahweh was going to protect their families. Verse 13. About 40,000 armed, 2502, for war, 6635, passed over before Yahweh to battle, 4421, to the plains of Jericho. Verse 14, on that day, Yahweh made Yahshua great in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him. Now that's 3372. That can mean to revere, to hold in awe, or to fear, as they revered Moshe all the days of his life. Okay, his position as Moshe's replacement was now absolutely secured. Verse 15, and Yahweh spoke to Yahshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, 5715, that the testimony is also what the covenant was called, that they come up out of the Yarden. They were still standing there. Yahshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up out of the Yarden. And it came to pass, when the priest that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh had come up from the middle of the Yarden, the soles of the priest's feet were drawn out, 5423. In other words, they were done. Onto the dry land, 2724, that the waters of the Yarden returned to their place and came upon all its banks as before. Now, the word used for upon can also mean over. So, it said it was in flood stage before. It was up out of its banks. So, it probably would be translated over here. But it also means upon. And they had to watch all of this, and that would complete the similar behavior as in the Sea of Reeds. When they were done on the command of Yahweh, all the water came rushing down. It was a big, huge heap, and it backed up like a dam. Just Yahweh's power was just like a dam. It just He just said, stop. And the water stopped. Flood waters. So you can imagine the amount of water. Wow. Verse 19. And verse 19, you can reference the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English. Chapter 88, verse 10. And the people came up from the Arden on the 10th day of the first month and camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they had taken from the Arden, Yahshua set up in Gilgal. That's where they camped. There was only one set of stones. But that's where he set them up at, in Gilgal. So they had gone up to higher ground to get away from the floodwaters, which are going to return. And they camped in Gilgal. And that's where he put the stones as a pillar, one on top of another. Verse 21, and he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their father in the future, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. Because Yahweh your Elohim dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as Yahweh your Elohim did to the Sea of Reeds, which he dried up from before us until we were passed over, so that all the people of the land might know the hand of Yahweh, that it is mighty, 2389, that you revere Yahweh, your Elohim, forever. Now, 3027 is hand, and specifically, pretty much the right hand. And that is a symbol of power. And when they say the hand of Yahweh, that means the power of Yahweh. That's the symbolic usage of the word for hand as power. Now this sealed the deal for Yahshua. He was going to be the man that would tell them for many years exactly what Yahweh wanted. He was going to be another spokesperson. Somewhat like Moshe. But Yahweh never got as close to Yahshua as he did Moshe. Moshe was a one-time deal. He was Yahweh's favorite guy. And Yahweh was closer to Moshe than anyone. Yahshua got a great deal from Yahweh, but not to the extreme extent that Moshe did. But he was still going to be a miracle worker in the sight of the Israelites, because they really needed a leader. They were fragmented. They were traveling, living in tents. They hadn't secured the promised land yet. They just crossed over the Jordan River, brand new, into the land of all the Canaanites and all the other ites. And they were going to have to fight. Oh boy, were they going to have to fight. We're going to get into that in chapter 5 and 6 and such. But what I want to discuss right now is the setting of a precedent for these second generation Exodus and third generation Exodus people. All these were the children of the original Exodus folks. And then they grew up and they had children. And they had experienced all that wandering in the wilderness, had seen their parents die off, all except Caleb and Yahshua. Okay? Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Yahshua, son of Nun. They're the only two of the original people. And these were mighty, mighty men in the eyes of Israel. And they were very definitely leaders. But again, beginning with this miracle, you will see in the future, in coming chapters, rebelliousness. They carried on what their parents carried on. They were going to doubt. The entire lifestyle and mindset of our people Israel back then was very, very different from what we have now. We were a nomadic herdsman culture, living in tents. Out in this desert region, and they had come over this river and into a much more fertile land. And they were going to farm and grow crops and have cities. They were going to have to be a united army under the command of the general, Yahshua. And they were going to have to take cities, and they were going to have to kill entire populations because Yahweh commanded it. Now, why would Yahweh command that entire cities and populations be slaughtered, destroyed? Well, I'll tell you why. The people of the land, these were cursed seed people. They worshiped false gods. Their religious practices were absolutely abominable. They did child sacrifice of their own children. Sex orgies, perversions, sodomy. I mean, they were nasty folk. Yeah, they had cities. Now, what they called cities back then weren't like the massive, huge metropolises that we have now with roads and power lines, electricity, phone service. These were stone or wood houses. We would call them huts. They weren't of very great size. They weren't like our modern houses. Some of them were quite nice because they had to build with stone as their main building material and some type of mortar. And they had gotten to be pretty good stonemasons. And they fit some pretty tight rocks together. They did it right. And they'd last for centuries and centuries. Some of the original houses that weren't destroyed completely, a lot of those buildings are still standing. 1,000 years later, a couple of thousand, they're still buildings over there that the same families, now they're Canaanite families, they're in Jewish territory over there. They call them Palestinians or whatever. Over the period of time since Christ's ascension back to heaven, these mongrel people have had the same family living in the same house for 1,000 years. They just, you know, the old people die and young ones come up. But the Watchus family lives in the same house. And these are new Watchus folks. And the Watchus group had lived in that house for 1,000 years. Well, you can understand readily how they would object, even though these people are Canaanites. These people called Jews with absolutely no ties to that land. Most of Jewry is Khazar, with no ties to Palestine, what they call Palestine, at all, have come in and they're running these people off. Oh, this is the land of the chosen people. We are the chosen people. Well, yeah, right. So they're machine gunning young children that throw rocks at them. Because they hate them. They're taking their villages. And they're sending rockets down on them. Whenever they can get rockets. These Katusha or whatever they are. Rockets that aren't real accurate. They just make a mess of things when they hit. Well, imagine a rocket with a bomb on it makes a mess. If it hits a house, the house isn't there anymore. It's a crater. They have not secured that land. Why? Because it's not their land. That's not their promised land. That's our promised land, Israel. But we were disobedient. And we have been sent into dispersion as punishment. And we're in the United States and Great Britain and Denmark and Sweden and Germany and France and Spain and South Africa and Australia, New Zealand, Canada. We're all over. There's going to be a gathering. It's starting. The work of EFR itself is designed to aid in that gathering of the remnant that worship Yahweh in truth and acknowledge and revere Yahshua as our kinsman redeemer that surrendered his life to cover over our sins. The current occupants of the former land of Israel, now being called Israel by the imposters that are posing as us, is not theirs. We will receive a new Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem won't be rebuilt. Oh, they patched it up and they've got shops and little twisty streets. But the great edifices that were there built in the time of the kings of real Israel are all gone. They're all busted up. The Romans did a thorough job of destruction there. And you've got a bunch of big heap of rocks up on the top of a hill, and they're fighting over the area where the temple used to be, the Dome of the Rock. The temple's not going to be there. It's going to be in our midst. And it's a new temple, and it will come down when Yahshua returns. And at that time, if you will read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, you will see what is planned for the usurpers that are current occupants of the former land of Israel. While true Israel is in dispersion elsewhere in the world. It is not going to be pretty. It's going to be very, very ugly, and it's going to be a bloodbath. We, as true Israel in dispersion, are doing our best to return to the correct worship of Yahweh, to obey His commandments and keep His feasts. That's one of the priorities that we must have. Now, I read these scriptures hoping that some of the fence sitters who have not made a decision to come back to the actual worship of Yahweh and call upon His name instead of the Lord, and those that recognize that Yahshua, which is His true Hebrew name, is our Redeemer and has covered over our sins, and we as Israelites need to acknowledge that and obey the commandments that He gave us, and He never gave us anything but Torah. He did not do away with the law. He fulfilled a lot of the prophecies and He eliminated the need for blood sacrifice for the remission of sins. And that's the only thing that He changed. The rest of the Torah stands, and He said so. And a lot of the naysayers and the false teachers are saying, oh, that's all nailed to the cross. They can't tell you what chapter and verse does away with these laws, and they won't quote you the chapter and verse where Yahshua Himself says, I came not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is very unpopular, and they avoid it like the plague. Well, this book of Yahshua is the story of real Israel just entering into this promised land. And they haven't engaged in any of the apostasy which would eventually get us kicked out. And we have been warned over and over and over by Yahweh, who is long-suffering, very patient, and very forgiving. But finally he said, enough is enough. Well, he also still loves us. And we're still under his covenant, even though we have been covenant breakers. Well, now, a lot of us new Israelites, not from those ancient days back then, I'm 69 years of age, and that's relatively new to the planet in the scheme of time, are trying to get back to worshiping Yahweh in manner acceptable to him, asking for forgiveness through Yeshua Messiah. And this book of Yeshua is the beginning of the entrance of our people into this land. And now that we have been kicked out, we are in process of trying to get back into the graces through the grace of Yeshua Messiah to the mighty Elohim that brought our people into this land that I'm speaking of in the first place. He said there would be an end times, and we're going to have to go through some tough stuff. But Scripture also said if Yahweh is with us, then who can be against us? We're going to have to rely on that faith. And we have to realize what a remnant truly is. A remnant is a small part of a whole. You have a huge roll of carpet come into a carpet company from a factory. It's on a great big roll, and they slide a steel thing through it, and they'll roll it off that roll and cut it. Huge roll. And then they get down to the end, and there's 20 yards of carpet left on that 2,000 yard roll, and that's called a remnant. A piece of the whole, the last little piece left on that roll. Well, that's what we are. That's what we are, Israel. We are the last little piece left on the roll. And we're all that's going to make it, because there's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians. Yet they do not recognize Yeshua. They do not recognize his teachings. They recognize the doctrines of men. We have a great deal of trouble from these people. And these people are from our own race. A great many of them are from our own race. And they are angry with us because we are not part of their little herd, their little cult that they go to. Pick a name. There's lots of names for these denominations. We are Israel. We are trying to act like Israel and worship like Israel. They may be Israel, but they don't know it. They won't recognize it. They won't admit it. And they don't worship like Israel. And they will go to church every day, or every Sunday, rather, for their whole life. And they will claim to be saved, yet they will call on the name of the Lord. They will not recognize the name of Yahweh, even when they are told, I don't want to hear that. I don't know who this Yeshua business is. His name is Jesus. Well, no. It's not. And that throws a monkey wrench into things. It upsets me because I grieve for them because they are of my people. They're of your people too. We did not complete our commission to destroy all the Canaanites and all the other ites that we were told to kill. Then they would be thorns in our sides and pricks in our eyes. And they are. But we have a new commission. When we acknowledge Yeshua Messiah as our Redeemer, we are under a new covenant. And we have a new commission. And that commission is to pass on the teachings of Yeshua and try to familiarize our fellow Israelites that don't even realize who they are. In truth, they just don't know. They've been raised to believe they are something else, that they think they're Gentiles. It is our duty and our commission to tell them the truth. And we are going to get rejected a lot, predominantly rejected. It says so right in Scripture. They will hate us for telling them the truth. Some of them will try to, and maybe succeed, physically harm us for telling them this truth. But I say to you, as a person that has experienced this over a long period of time, I have been Christian identity for many, many years, that if you convince one person, just one, you have won a great victory, because that is a brother or a sister that you have saved from the lake of fire. Think on that. Somebody told us, and I'm speaking to the true believers out there, somebody told us. They blessed us with this truth. And it's our turn to bless others with this truth. This is a gift that keeps on giving. A truth that keeps on truthing. Don't be discouraged. Yahweh told Moshe to tell Yeshua, "Be ye courageous." Well, this applies to us. Be courageous. Don't hold back. Yeshua was not ashamed of us when he went to his death. And we should not be ashamed to tell his truth to others. Because if we are ashamed of him and won't share this out of some fear of social repercussions in our lives, then he will deny us before the Father. And he told us that. And that is a horrible thing. Your salvation can be lost. You can walk away from it. You have to do that. You have to try to go back into the world and worship the world's way and be part of the world again. That's a willing choice on your part. I don't want to see that happen. The once saved, always saved lie that the Universalist churches are teaching has fooled a lot of people. Stay strong. Be true. Share this truth with others. raise your family in a true Christian manner, worshiping the true Christian way, without the pagan holidays and the claptrap false doctrine that the Judeo-Christian churches are spewing out. Keep your children away from television, please. It is Talmud vision. It teaches them evil. It plants things in their mind with subliminal messages. This is not a fantasy. This is not a rumor or a conspiracy theory. It's the truth. They are very subtle, as their father, the devil, is subtle. And he plants little devilish seeds in our children. We have to raise and teach the children of Israel. We cannot let them grow up like weeds, so they become tares in the middle of the wheat that will be bundled and burned later. Your children are precious. Above all, if you don't share it with anybody else, share the truth of Yahweh and Yeshua with your Israelite children. This is of absolute vital importance. Don't let them be raised in paganism, which is exactly what Judeo-Christianity is. It is paganism. Christmas and Easter and all these other fake holidays are paganism. They are your children. They are your responsibility. And I exhort you, in the name of Yahweh, accept your responsibility. Don't dump them in front of a TV set because you're busy. You will doom them. What a horrible fate for your own children. Love your Israelite neighbor as yourself. That speaks of kindred. Do right, do justice, do honesty, live in truth, and speak the truth. And above all, speak the truth about Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah. With this, I will leave you, and I will take up with chapters 5 and 6 tomorrow. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And Shalom Aleichem to you. Peace be with you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus, go.